Welcome to Control Plus Talk.
Yeah.
This is Anthony and Kate.
Hey, everybody.
And today we're taking you on a deep dive into the fascinating world of Linux.
That's right.
You've sent us an article titled History of Linux.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to unpack all the juicy details.
All the juicy details.
From its humble beginnings.
Very humble.
To its global dominance.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty remarkable story when you think about it.
Yeah.
Linux powers everything from smartphones
right.
to supercomputers. I mean,
yeah, you don't exactly picture a revolution starting with a frustrated college student.
Right.
But that's exactly what happened back in 1991 with Linus Torvalds.
That's right.
He was studying in Finland.
Finland,
dealing
yeah.
with the clunky, expensive operating systems of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And decided, hey, I can do better.
And the amazing thing is he wasn't just trying to build a better mousetrap for himself.
Right.
Torvalds had this radical idea to create an operating system that was completely free to use, modify, and distribute.
Okay, so this is a key point.
Big one.
Open source means the actual code that makes the software work
yeah.
is open for anyone to see, tinker with, and improve.
Exactly.
How did that shape Linux's development?
It was absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
It meant that Linux wasn't just one guy's pet project.
Right.
It became a global collaboration with developers from all over the world pitching in, fixing bugs, adding features.
Right.
And underpinning this whole collaborative spirit was something called the GNU General Public License.
Okay.
It's a legal framework that basically ensures that any software derived from Linux also has to be open source.
Okay.
It's kind of like a chain reaction of free software.
So even if a company took Linux and built something on top of it,
yeah.
they couldn't turn around and make it proprietary and start charging for it.
Nope. That's pretty powerful. The GNU GPL was a game changer.
Yeah.
It ensured that the core of Linux would always remain free and accessible, fostering innovation and preventing anyone from locking it down.
So we've got this student project, open source global collaboration,
mm-hmm.
and somehow Linux goes from this niche thing for techies
right.
to powering a huge chunk of the internet.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it was a gradual process, but there were a few key factors.
Okay.
Early on, Linux was mainly used by hobbyists and programmers
yeah.
who loved its flexibility.
Right.
But as the system matured, its advantages became clear: incredible stability,
mm-hmm.
rock-solid security,
yeah.
and a very attractive price tag. Free.
Oh, yeah.
This made it a compelling option for businesses, especially for running servers.
It's funny to think that something free could be seen as a business advantage.
I know, right?
But I guess when you're talking about the cost of software licenses for hundreds or thousands of servers,
yeah.
it makes sense.
Absolutely. And that cost effectiveness combined with Linux's performance really helped it gain a foothold in the server market.
Right.
And once it got into those mission critical systems, its reputation for stability and reliability just grew.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And it's mind blowing. Over 90% of the world's top supercomputers run on Linux. Why is that?
It's crazy.
What makes it so well suited for those high performance machines?
There are several reasons.
Okay.
But let's start with how Linux is structured.
Okay.
And its core is the kernel.
Okay.
Which is basically the brain of the operating system.
Okay.
It manages all the hardware resources, talks to the different components, and makes sure everything runs smoothly.
Okay.
But here's a key point. The kernel is not the same thing as the user interface.
Right.
The part you actually see and interact with.
Okay. I think a lot of people might confuse those two things.
Yeah.
So it's like the kernel is the engine of a car.
Yeah.
And the user interface is the dashboard and steering wheel.
Exactly. You need both.
You need both.
But they have different functions.
Different functions.
Yeah.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And what's great about Linux is that you have a huge amount of choice when it comes to user interfaces.
Okay. You can have a simple command line interface, a full-blown graphical desktop environment, or anything in between.
Right.
This makes Linux incredibly customizable.
Okay.
Which is a big draw for both individual users and organizations that need to tailor their systems for specific tasks.
So that customization is a major advantage.
It is.
But there's more to it than that, right?
Absolutely.
What are some of the other key factors that have made Linux so popular?
Well, on top of being customizable,
okay.
Linux is renowned for its stability.
Okay.
You rarely get those dreaded system crashes that you might experience with other operating systems.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's constantly being scrutinized and improved by a global community, security is another major strength.
Right.
Linux is generally considered very secure, making it ideal for systems that handle sensitive data.
So it's free,
yep.
it's stable,
yep.
it's secure,
yep.
it's customizable.
Yes.
What's the catch?
That's not catch.
Okay.
Of course, there's a learning curve.
Right.
Especially if you're coming from a more traditional operating system.
Sure.
But the payoff is that you have a powerful,
yeah,
flexible system that you can really make your own.
Right.
And the community is incredibly supportive.
Okay.
There are tons of online forums, documentation, and resources to help you along the way.
Okay, so Linux is awesome. Got it.
It is.
But we can't talk about Linux without talking about Tux.
Oh, no.
The Penguin.
Of course not.
Why a penguin?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the answer is a little bit quirky.
Okay.
The Penguin, officially known as Tux,
right,
was created by Larry Ewing back in 1996.
Okay.
And the name Tux is actually a playful abbreviation of Torvalds Unix.
Oh.
A nod to Linus himself.
Okay, so it's not just a random penguin.
Mm-hmm.
There's a connection to the creator.
Yes.
But why a penguin specifically?
Well, the story goes that Linus was once bitten by a penguin at a zoo.
He was bitten by a penguin?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, right? It's a perfect example of how a seemingly random event can lead to something iconic.
Okay.
And Tux quickly became a symbol of the Linux community.
Right.
Representing its playful spirit,
yeah,
its collaborative nature, and its dedication to open source ideals.
From penguin bite to global tech icon.
There you go.
That's quite a journey.
That is quite a journey.
But before we get too caught up in Tux's cuteness,
yeah,
let's step back and look at the historical context.
Okay.
What were the key events that led to Linux's creation?
Okay.
What was happening in the tech world that paved the way for this revolution?
Well, to understand Linux,
mm-hmm,
you have to understand Unix.
Okay.
Unix was developed in the late 60s and early 70s at Bell Labs.
Okay.
And was a revolutionary operating system for its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed for multi-user and multitasking environments.
Okay.
Which was a big deal back then.
So Unix was like the granddaddy of modern operating systems.
Exactly.
Okay.
It had a huge influence on the development of many operating systems.
Yeah.
Including Linux. In fact, Linux is technically a Unix-like operating system.
Gotcha.
Now, fast forward to the 80s, Andrew S. Tannenbaum,
yeah,
a computer science professor,
okay,
created Minix,
yeah,
which was a simplified version of Unix intended for educational purposes.
Right.
And crucially, he made the source code for Minix freely available.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a key decision.
Right.
That open source approach had a direct impact on Linus Torvalds.
Okay.
He was a student using Minix, mm-hmm, and was inspired to create his own operating system.
Okay.
Drawing heavily on Minix's design and philosophy.
So in a way, Linux wouldn't exist without Minix.
Right.
Which itself was inspired by Unix.
Exactly.
It's like a family tree of operating systems.
I love that analogy, and it highlights how innovation often builds upon previous work,
right,
remixing and refining ideas.
Yeah.
But what's remarkable is that Linus was just 21.
Wow.
When he started this project.
Yeah.
It really shows the power of open collaboration,
yeah,
and the impact a single person can have with a bold idea and a lot of paffle.
From a student's dorm room to powering the digital world.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
Yeah.
But the story doesn't end there.
It doesn't.
Linux is still evolving.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's becoming even more important as we move into the era of cloud computing.
Wait.
Big data.
Yes.
And the Internet of Things.
Absolutely. Linux is incredibly adaptable.
Right.
It can scale from tiny embedded systems to massive supercomputers and everything in between.
Right.
And its open source nature makes it perfect for collaborating on these complex, cutting-edge technologies.
This is where things get even more fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
With the rise of containerization and orchestration,
mm-hmm,
which are changing the way we develop and deploy software.
Absolutely.
You mentioned these earlier.
I did.
But can you break them down for us?
Yeah.
Avoiding the tech jargon as much as possible?
Sure. Imagine you're packing for a trip.
Okay.
Instead of stuffing everything into one giant suitcase,
yeah,
you use separate packing cubes for clothes, toiletries, electronics, and so on.
Okay.
That's the basic idea behind containerization.
Okay.
It allows you to package applications and their dependencies in isolated units.
So it's about keeping things organized and self-contained.
Exactly.
Okay.
This makes applications more portable,
yeah,
easier to manage, and less prone to conflicts.
Right.
And then you have orchestration tools like Kubernetes,
okay,
which act like an air traffic controller,
okay,
managing and automating these containers at a large scale.
So if containerization is like having separate packing cubes,
yes,
orchestration is like having a super efficient baggage handling system,
yes,
that makes sure everything gets where it needs to go.
You got it.
Okay.
And these technologies are becoming increasingly important in the world of cloud computing and large-scale software development.
Okay.
And guess what plays a major role there?
Linux.
Linux.
It sounds like we've got a lot more to unpack here.
We do.
But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Albion.is.
Albion.is is a DevOps consultancy company.
They can help your organization navigate the complexities of modern software development.
That's right.
Including containerization,
mm-hmm.
orchestration.
Yes.
And of course, all things Linux.
Of course.
You can visit their website at Albion.is.
Albion.is.
Now back to our deep dive.
Let's dive back in.
We were talking about how Linux is evolving.
Yeah.
And playing a crucial role in emerging technologies.
That's right, right. Let's dive a bit deeper into the early days of Linux.
Okay.
And how the community shaped its development.
Okay.
The release of Linux 0.01 in September 1991
okay.
marked a turning point.
Okay.
It was a bare-bones command-line operating system.
Right.
But its availability on the internet sparked a wave of interest among programmers.
I imagine that early version of Linux looked pretty intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
To anyone used to graphical interfaces.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for those who loved tinkering with code and exploring the inner workings of a computer,
mm-hmm.
it was pure gold.
Right.
The beauty was that it wasn't a finished product.
Yeah.
It was an invitation to collaborate.
Okay.
To build something together.
And that's where the magic of the Linux community really kicked in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Developers from all over the world started contributing code, fixing bugs, and adding features.
Yeah.
It was a truly organic and collaborative process,
right.
fueled by passion and a shared belief in the power of open source.
Yeah. It's amazing to think that this global collaboration was happening before social media and widespread internet access.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's wild.
How did they coordinate everybody?
It really highlights the dedication of those early Linux pioneers.
Yeah.
They primarily relied on email lists and online forums to share code, discuss ideas, and solve problems.
Wow.
It was a testament to the power of online communities, even in their early forms.
Right.
These developers truly believed in the potential of a free and open operating system and were willing to put in the time and effort to make it a reality.
That community-driven spirit is still at the heart of Linux today.
Absolutely.
But back then, how did Linux go from being a community project to something that businesses and even governments began relying on?
Well, that shift was a crucial part of the story.
Yeah.
As Linux continued to develop, its stability,
mm-hmm.
security, and cost-effectiveness became impossible to ignore.
Yeah.
For businesses looking for a reliable and affordable alternative to proprietary operating systems,
yeah.
Linux was incredibly appealing.
So it was a mix of technical strength and a smart business move.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this led to the rise of commercial Linux distributions like Red Hat.
Okay.
They provided professional support and services.
Right.
Which made it easier for businesses to adopt Linux on a larger scale.
So you had this cycle, a thriving community was driving innovation,
mm-hmm.
which then attracted businesses. Right. Further fueling the growth of the ecosystem.
Exactly. It was a remarkable convergence of factors.
Yeah.
And it's important to note that this move toward enterprise adoption didn't weaken the open source spirit of Linux.
Right.
The core principles of free access and community collaboration remain strong.
It's like a testament to the power of open source to not only create amazing technology, but to disrupt traditional business models as well.
Absolutely.
But even with all its success in the server world,
mm-hmm.
Linux wasn't exactly user-friendly at first.
No.
How did it break into desktops and get into the hands of everyday users?
That's where the concept of Linux distributions,
yeah.
which we touched on earlier, played uh-huh. a massive role.
Okay.
Distributions take the Linux kernel and package it with user-friendly interfaces
okay.
and a bunch of pre-installed software.
So they took the power of Linux and made it accessible to people who weren't comfortable with command lines.
Precisely. Okay. Distributions like Ubuntu, with its focus on simplicity and ease of use, really opened the door for wider desktop adoption.
Okay.
And then there's the rise of mobile devices.
Right.
Which brought Linux to a whole new level.
How could we forget Android?
Oh, yeah.
The little green robot that's taken over the world runs on Linux.
You got it. Android, which is based on the Linux kernel,
okay.
introduced Linux to billions of people.
Right.
Many of whom probably don't even realize they're using a Linux-based operating system every day.
It's kind of ironic, right?
It is.
Linux starts as this project for tech enthusiasts.
Right.
And now it's quietly running most of the smartphones on the planet.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It really shows how adaptable and versatile Linux is.
Absolutely.
It can scale from tiny embedded systems to massive supercomputers and everything in between.
Yeah.
Speaking of scaling, we talked before about containerization and orchestration.
We did.
Can you give us some real-world examples of how those are being used with Linux today?
Absolutely. Think about companies like Netflix, Google, and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They run huge online services that handle millions of requests per second.
Right.
Containerization and orchestration are essential for them to deploy,
yeah.
manage, and scale these applications efficiently and reliably.
So it's like having an incredibly efficient system to manage all the different parts of their digital services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because Linux is so dominant in the server world,
right.
it's the perfect platform for these technologies. It's like having a super powerful engine and a set of tools that let you build incredibly complex and sophisticated machines on top of it.
It's fascinating how Linux have become this invisible force powering so much of the digital world.
It really is.
But for all its technical achievements,
yeah.
there's also a human side to the Linux story that's really inspiring.
Absolutely. Linux is a perfect example of what can happen when people come together with a shared passion and a belief in the power of collaboration.
It's a reminder that innovation often comes from unexpected places.
Yes.
From people driven by a desire to make things better,
right.
not necessarily by profit.
Mm-hmm.
And that spirit of community is what continues to draw people to Linux.
Right.
Whether they're developers,
yeah.
system administrators,
yeah.
or just curious users who want to explore a different way of computing.
You can really feel that sense of community at Linux conferences and online forums.
Yeah.
There's a camaraderie among Linux users, a willingness to help each other out and share knowledge freely.
It's like a global tribe united by their love of technology and belief in the power of open source.
And that's one of the most exciting things about Linux. It's still evolving.
Right.
New challenges are emerging, new technologies are being developed, and the Linux community is at the forefront of it all.
For example, we're seeing Linux playing a major role in fields like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and the Internet of Things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These fields require enormous amounts of data processing and the ability to handle complex interconnected systems.
Right.
With its scalability, flexibility, and open source nature, Linux is a natural fit.
It's like Linux is the foundation for the next generation of digital innovation.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's exciting to imagine what the future holds for Linux and the open source movement as a whole.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the history of Linux, what are some key takeaways you hope our listeners will come away with?
Well, I hope they appreciate the incredible journey of Linux.
Yeah.
From a student side project to a global phenomenon.
Right.
It's a story of innovation, collaboration, and the power of open source.
And it's a story that's still being written.
Exactly. I hope our listeners feel inspired to explore Linux further.
Yep.
Maybe try out a Linux distribution,
yeah.
contribute to an open source project, or just learn more about how this amazing operating system works.
Well said.
Thank you.
And if you're feeling adventurous, why not create your own open source project?
Yeah.
Who knows? You might be the next Linus Torvalds.
And remember, if you need help navigating the world of DevOps and open source,
yep.
our sponsor, Albion.is, is a great resource.
Check them out.
Check them out at Albion.is.
Albion.is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the history of Linux.
We'll catch you next time. It's amazing to think that this global collaboration was happening before social media.
That's wild.
And widespread internet access.
Yeah.
How did they coordinate everything?
It really highlights the dedication of those early Linux pioneers.
Yeah.
They primarily relied on email lists and online forums to share code, discuss ideas, and solve problems.
Wow.
It was a testament to the power of online communities, even in their early forms.
Right.
These developers truly believed in the potential of a free and open operating system and were willing to put in the time and effort to make it a reality.
That community-driven spirit is still at the heart of Linux today.
Absolutely.
But back then, how did Linux go from being a community project to something that businesses and even governments began relying on?
Well, that shift was a crucial part of the story as Linux continued to develop.
Yeah.
Its stability, security, and cost effectiveness became impossible to ignore for businesses looking for a reliable and affordable alternative to proprietary operating systems.
Yeah.
Linux was incredibly appealing.
So it was a mix of technical strength and a smart business move.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this led to the rise of commercial Linux distributions like Red Hat.
Okay.
They provided professional support and services, which made it easier for businesses to adopt Linux on a larger scale.
So you had this cycle.
Yeah.
A thriving community was driving innovation, which then attracted businesses, further fueling the growth of the ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a remarkable convergence of factors.
Right.
And it's important to note that this move toward enterprise adoption didn't weaken the open source spirit of Linux.
Right.
The core principles of free access and community collaboration remain strong.
It's like a testament to the power of open source to not only create amazing technology, but to disrupt traditional business models as well.
Absolutely.
But even with all its success in the server world, Linux wasn't exactly user-friendly at first.
No.
How did it break into desktops and get into the hands of everyday users?
That's where the concept of Linux distributions, which we touched on earlier, played a massive role.
Okay.
Distributions take the Linux kernel and package it with user-friendly interfaces and a bunch of pre-installed software.
So they took the power of Linux and made it accessible.
Exactly.
To people who weren't comfortable with command lines.
Precisely.
Okay.
Distributions like Kubuntu, with its focus on simplicity and ease of use, really opened the door for wider desktop adoption.
Okay.
And then there's the rise of mobile devices.
Right.
Which brought Linux to a whole new level.
How could we forget Android?
I know, right?
The little green robot that's taken over the world runs on Linux.
You got it. Android, which is based on the Linux kernel, introduced Linux to billions of people.
Right.
Many of whom probably don't even realize they're using a Linux-based operating system every day.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, right?
It is.
Linux starts as this project for tech enthusiasts.
Right.
And now it's quietly running most of the smartphones on the planet.
Pretty much.
It really shows how adaptable and versatile Linux is.
Absolutely.
It can scale from tiny embedded systems to massive supercomputers and everything in between.
It can.
Speaking of scaling.
Yeah.
We talked before about containerization and orchestration.
We did.
Can you give us some real-world examples
of
how those are being used with Linux today?
Absolutely. Think about companies like Netflix, Google, and Amazon.
Okay.
They run huge online services that handle millions of requests per second.
Right.
Containerization and orchestration are essential for them to deploy, manage, and scale these applications efficiently and reliably.
So it's like having an incredibly efficient system.
It is.
To manage all the different parts of their digital services.
Exactly. Right. And because Linux is so dominant in the server world, it's the perk platform for these technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a super powerful engine.
Mm-hmm.
And a set of tools that let you build incredibly complex and sophisticated machines on top of it.
It's fascinating how Linux has become this invisible force powering so much of the digital world.
It really is.
But for all its technical achievements, there's also a human side to the Linux story that's really inspiring.
Absolutely. Linux is a perfect example of what can happen when people come together with a shared passion and a belief in the power of collaboration.
It's a reminder that innovation often comes from unexpected places.
It does.
From people driven by a desire to make things better.
Yeah.
Not necessarily by profits.
Right.
And that spirit of community is what continues to draw people to Linux.
Absolutely.
Whether they're developers, system administrators, or just curious users who want to explore a different way of computing.
You can really feel that sense of community at Linux conferences and online forums.
Right.
There's a camaraderie among Linux users, a willingness to help each other out and share knowledge freely.
It's like a global tribe united by their love of technology.
It is.
And belief in the power of open source.
And that's one of the most exciting things about Linux. It's still evolving.
Right.
New challenges are emerging.
Yeah.
New technologies are being developed.
Right.
And the Linux community is at the forefront of it all.
For example, we're seeing Linux playing a major role in fields like artificial intelligence.
Right.
Machine learning.
Yeah.
And the Internet of Things.
Exactly. Yeah. These fields require enormous amounts of data processing.
Yeah.
And the ability to handle complex, interconnected systems.
Right.
With its scalability, flexibility, and open source nature.
Yeah.
Linux is a natural fit.
It's like Linux is the foundation for the next generation of digital innovation.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's exciting to imagine what the future holds for Linux and the open source movement as a whole.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the history of Linux, what are some key takeaways you hope our listeners will come away with?
Well, I hope they appreciate the incredible journey of Linux from a student-side project to a global phenomenon.
Right.
It's a story of innovation, collaboration, and the power of open source.
And it's a story that's still being written.
Exactly.
Right.
I hope our listeners feel inspired to explore Linux further.
Yeah.
Maybe try out a Linux distribution, contribute to an open source project,
Yeah.
or just learn more about how this amazing operating system works.
Well said.
Thank you.
And if you're feeling adventurous,
Yeah.
why not create your own open source
You
project?
never know.
Who knows?
You could be the next Linus.
You might be the next Linus Torvalds.
And remember,
Yep.
if you need help navigating the world of DevOps and open source,
Right.
our sponsor, Albion.is, is a great
Check
resource.
them out at
Albion.is.
albion.is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive to the history of
We'll
Linux.
catch you next time. It really is inspiring to see how a project driven by passion and a belief in open access could have such a massive impact.
Yeah, it challenges the traditional idea of how innovation happens.
Right.
Linux shows that it's not always about big corporations or profit motives.
Right.
Sometimes the most groundbreaking ideas come from individuals who just want to make things better for everyone.
And speaking of making things better, you mentioned that new kernel versions are released regularly. What does that actually mean for users?
Okay.
Is it like getting a major software update on your phone?
It can be, but it's usually much smoother.
Okay.
Think of it like getting a tune-up for your car.
Okay.
New kernel versions often bring performance improvements,
Right.
better hardware support,
Right.
and sometimes entirely new features.
Okay.
But unlike some other operating systems,
Yeah.
these updates tend to be very stable
Okay.
and don't usually disrupt your workflow.
So you're not stuck rebooting your computer every 5 minutes or dealing with compatibility issues.
Exactly. The Linux community takes stability very seriously. They do
Oh.
a lot of testing before releasing new kernel versions
Right.
to make sure they integrate seamlessly with existing
That
systems.
makes sense.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want a server running a tank's website to
Right.
suddenly crash because of a buggy update.
Exactly. Reliability is paramount,
Right.
especially in most critical environments.
Yeah.
But it's not just about servers.
Okay.
Those kernel updates also benefit everyday users.
Right.
They might get better battery life on their laptops,
Okay.
smoother graphics performance, or support for the latest hardware gadgets. And
Right.
it all happens behind the scenes,
Right.
usually without any fuss.
That's the beauty of a well-maintained system. You
Exactly.
don't even realize all the work that goes into keeping things running smoothly.
Right.
You just get to enjoy the benefits.
That's right. And that's a testament to the dedication of the Linux community. They're constantly working to make the system better, not for profit,
Right.
but for the love of technology and the belief in open collaboration.
That's what sets Linux apart.
It does.
It's not just about the code,
Yeah.
it's about the people, the community, and the shared values
Right.
that drive the entire ecosystem.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's why Linux will continue to thrive. It's not just a piece of software.
Right.
It's a movement, a philosophy, a way of thinking about technology that empowers individuals
Yeah.
and fosters innovation.
Right.
It's about sharing knowledge, breaking down barriers,
Right.
and working together to build something amazing.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on.
I agree.
From a student's project to the backbone of the digital world,
Yeah.
Linux's journey is truly remarkable.
It is.
And as we've seen,
Yes.
it's a journey that's still
It
unfolding,
is.
full of exciting possibilities.
Absolutely. And for those who are curious to learn more, I encourage you to dive in, explore, and discover the world of Linux.
Yeah.
You might be surprised at what you find.
And remember, if you need expert guidance on your Linux journey, our sponsor, Albion.is, is a great resource.
They are.
Check them out at Albion.is.
Albion.is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the history of Linux. We'll catch you next time.